I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
This doesn't come around every year.
While the impressive Louisiana State University victory over Clemson 42-25 doesn't happen every year, the national championship game of U.S. college football does. For LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, known simply as Coach O, the opportunity to play for the title in New Orleans, less than 120 kilometers from campus, was an early season inspiration.
When we saw that the national championship would be in the Superdome at the beginning of the year, we set off target on that, although we did not talk about it. And we felt that once we come in the Superdome, we come out victorious because of the home field advantage.
Clemson came into the game as defending national champions and riding a 29-game unbeaten streak as it aimed for a second straight perfect season. Clemson's notoriously tough defense clamped down early on LSU senior and Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Joe Burrow.
Defense stepped up all game until we started to get rolling. And, you know, we feel like you can't hold us down for forever. You know, I think we're too explosive. Our coaches are too good. Our players are too good. Our O-line is too good. And, you know, they had a great plan coming in. Like I said, Coach Venables is great at what he does, and it just took us a while to get it figured out.
Clemson sophomore Trevor Lawrence entered unbeaten as a college quarterback with a 70-1 record in games he played in dating back to his sophomore year of high school.
First of all, LSU did a really good job. They brought a lot of pressure. They did a good job mixing up the coverages. But just at the end of the day, I just didn't play well enough for us to win, you know. Too many missed plays by me, missed a lot of receivers, and, you know, just wasn't my night.
The missed opportunities were followed along the sideline by head coach Dabo Swinney.
Tonight was all about LSU. What an unbelievable game. You know, we had an opportunity there in the third quarter. I loved how we responded and got the ball back with a three-point lead, and we just couldn't quite put enough plays together.
Meanwhile, Coach O was very focused ahead of the biggest game of his career.
The focus all week was to beat Clemson, not thinking the magnitude of, hey, we're going to win the national championship, what's going to happen, all that. So our focus was, and the guys just followed it. Man, our focus has been one game at a time, one day at a time, and our guys did a tremendous job.
Down by 10 points in the second quarter, LSU reeled off three touchdowns and never looked back.
I thought our guys did a tremendous job of not letting him run the football on us. We knew Trevor was going to make some plays. They made some plays downfield, but you know what? I thought the coach around had a tremendous plan to get pressure. We never panicked, and those three and outs and those spots were critical in the ballgame.
LSU's new offense this season set numerous records. In the championship game alone, it racked up 463 passing yards and six total touchdowns. Burrow finished his college career with seven of the top 10 single-game passing performances in LSU history.
We got the rest of this week, and we're going to enjoy this one. A lot of work was put into this that nobody ever saw. Saturdays, Sundays, 7 days a week for 12 months. This is special.
Both schools are already looking toward next season. Clemson is the early number one preseason favorite, as Coach Dabo Swinney reached the national championship game this year with one of the youngest teams ever.
Coming into this year, you know, 80 freshmen and sophomores out of 120. To get back to this point, I'm just super proud of them. It's incredibly difficult to even get here and super hard to win it, that's for sure.
Clemson and LSU now share a rare college football distinction.
We were the first 15-0 team last year, and to see them do it, and you know, they earned it. Simple as that.
This team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history, 15-0. One of the greatest teams in LSU history, led by some of the greatest players. Give them all the credit.
Joe Burrow next heads to the National Football League. While the expected top draft choice will likely land a deal worth about $37 million, he already has something money can't buy.
What we did tonight can't be taken away from us. I don't know about the whole hero thing, but I know this this national championship will be remembered for a long time in Louisiana. To do it in New Orleans is even more special.
Super Bowl 54 is the goal for four teams remaining in the National Football League playoffs.
These are the moments that you work for and you think about in the offseason, the chance to put a game away. It doesn't have to be pretty, but what we've done is closed out games the right way. It's a good feeling.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers led a final drive down the field to beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-23.
There are moments in the season that rank higher than others, and this obviously is one of those moments where, you know, based on the way their offense was moving the ball, I knew I was going to have to make some plays tonight and felt good about the preparation and the performance. I felt really locked in from Wednesday on and practiced well and felt really good today all day.
Green Bay coach Matt LaFleur was impressed.
It's a resilient group. It wasn't always pretty at times, but, you know, it was great. At the end of the game there, we made plays when we had to. Our defense stepped up and was able to get that sack on Russell, and then there's no better way to close out a football game than in a four-minute mode where you have to convert a couple third downs.
Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson was proud his team fought to the end.
That's the good thing about us. It's never over. That's the thing that we bring to the table. It's never over. Think about the first half, it didn't go the way we wanted to, obviously. You got to play better there. But what we did in the second half, pretty special.
Despite the loss, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll is optimistic this Seattle team is retracing the steps it took to its first Super Bowl title.
This is, I think, is the start of this team. I think this is, it feels like 2012 all over again. And y'all can kind of...
The visiting Houston Texans took a 24-0 lead over the Kansas City Chiefs. But Houston coach Bill O'Brien wanted more as the heavily favored Chiefs came back to win 51-31.
Yeah, I mean, 24-0 was a really good lead, like no doubt about it. But I don't think any lead is safe versus these guys, and that's why we felt like we needed 50 points. And we weren't able to do that.
Kansas City coach Andy Reid didn't panic amid the early deficit.
We just felt that, listen, if we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, we're going to be okay. And so we settled down and did a nice job.
Veteran Houston defensive end J.J. Watt was frustrated to allow so many Kansas City points.
Sports are all about highs and lows. I mean, that's really, when you boil it down to it, that's what it's about. It's about people come to the game, people play the game, to experience those highs and lows. And today we experienced an extreme high early, and then we experienced a hell of a lot of lows as the game went on.
Young superstar quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw for 321 yards and 5 touchdowns as Kansas City reeled off 41 consecutive points for the win.
The biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And I mean, obviously, I knew as a team we had to kind of, everything had to go the right way, but I thought the defense stepped up, special teams stepped up. Offensively, we started making the plays we weren't making, and play by play, we just chipped away at that lead and then got the half and came up second half and kept firing.
Kansas City will next host the Tennessee Titans, who stunned the Baltimore Ravens 28-12. As a former New England Patriots star, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel truly appreciated what his team did.
It was great to watch the players execute a game plan that the coaches worked very hard at. And again, all the credit goes to the coaches and most especially the players. They're the ones that went out there and executed and locked in all week and then came here in a hostile, difficult environment and was able to get off to the fast start that we talked about.
Running back Derrick Henry has been a key part of Tennessee's surprise success.
Believing in each other, no matter what's thrown at us, no matter what happens, is believing in each other. Just keep pushing, keep on finishing. My coach preaches about finishing, and that's what we try to do when we're out there.
Baltimore coach John Harbaugh could only praise the Titans after the game.
I felt like they played winning football, you know, and they did it in a tough environment. They got the job done, so they'll be moving forward. We'll wish them all the best moving forward. Disappointed that we didn't play the kind of football we needed to play to win the game. That'll stick with us for a long time.
Usually on the winning side, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has a long offseason to think about next season.
Everybody hate losing. You know, I wanted to win this game. My team wanted to win this game. Coaching staff, just got to move on. Like I said, get ready for next year.
San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan was pleased with both his offense and defense in a 27-10 win over the Minnesota Vikings.
So it was just a hell of a job by the O-line coming off the ball, getting some push. When you can do that, you wear the guys down and force them to change some of their coverages a little bit. And then our defense kept getting us the ball back. And same with the special teams. You know, that long punt that they had, that we had, and Raheem being able to come down there, cause that fumble, that was huge too. And just a great overall win for the whole team.
Minnesota head coach Mike Zimmer has a similar assessment of the 49ers.
I think, you know, they played very well. I thought they got off blocks well. I thought they did a nice job of disrupting the passing game as well. And so, I think that all those entered into it.
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins could see why San Francisco was the top team in the National Conference.
I thought the 49ers were a good team, and they earned the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the way they played this season. And they were tough today.
San Francisco quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo threw for a touchdown before watching his team's running game and defense seal the win.
Running backs ran hard, all those guys, just even the receivers. I mean, it takes all the guys offensively to run the ball, and we did a good job of it today.
The winners of the two conference championship games this week will play in Miami on February 2nd in Super Bowl 54. Serbia has won the inaugural ATP Cup. Novak Djokovic led the way against Spain in the finals 2-1.
It has been an amazing event, traveling a couple of cities, having a fantastic support in Brisbane, Sydney, off the charts. I've never experienced such a support on my matches ever anywhere, and I've played for on the biggest stadiums in tennis, and this was something different. So I want to thank everybody for contributing to this victory on and off the court.
Played this year in Australia, the team competition featuring 24 nations came down to a thrilling final in Sydney. Djokovic defeated Rafael Nadal 6-2, 7-6, frustrating the Spanish great.
My approach is just go on court, try to play the best way possible, and try to win the match. That's the only approach that I can have. What happened in the past, it's already done. I can't change that. So the only thing that I think when I go on court is to try to do it the best way possible the next time.
With his teammates playing well, Nadal chose not to play doubles.
My teammates have been playing great yesterday. My level of energy is a little bit lower than usual because I played long yesterday, very long before yesterday, very long in Brisbane the last day. It's a team decision. We believe in our team. That's why we had success in the past.
Djokovic said his play kept improving through the event.
I was serving extremely well, definitely the best serving match I had in the tournament, and just extremely satisfied with the way I performed. And then, of course, in doubles, it was probably one of the best doubles we played. I mean, we won against a really, really good doubles team, and was a bit of a surprise that Nadal was not on the court, but nevertheless, we had to do the job, and job was done very well.
Nadal is taking his experience as a positive heading into the Australian Open.
To keep working, going to be an important week of practice for me, but in general terms, for me, the last 10 days here in the ATP Cup have been positive. I did a lot of things well, a couple of things not that well, but I don't think I am in a bad way for the next week.
Djokovic also is feeling good, going into the first Grand Slam tennis tournament of the year.
It is. I mean, it is a perfect preparation. I didn't know what to expect from the event. Obviously, I didn't know how deep we'll go. I was hoping that we're going to pass the group stages and then see how it goes. But these kind of team competitions are really, truly special. And I'm personally over the cloud with my emotions. And hopefully I can take that positive energy and use it for Australian Open.
Maybe it looks shaky to you, you know, I felt in control, but...
Shaky might be one way to describe South African golfer Brandon Grace as he fought potential adversity to come from behind and win the South African Open Golf Tournament.
You know, just took the damage and took it on the chin and, you know, like I told you guys yesterday, I had to get off to a good start. You know, my goal was to be tied with the leaders off the nine holes and... you know, probably would have been maybe one ahead if Louis didn't hold it on eight. So, but you know, it was a great day. I can't remember the last time I played this well, you know, and really just was so in the zone.
Grace fired a 9-under par final round at the Rand Park Golf Club in Johannesburg to finish at 21-under par, three shots ahead of compatriot Louis Oosthuizen. Always watching his progress on the leaderboards around the course.
You know, if somebody tells you they don't look at the leaderboards, you know, I think they're lying. There's so many leaderboards out there, you can't not look. But, you know, a day like today, especially me coming from behind, you have to look at the leaderboards. You have to know what you need to do.
When he reached the leaders, he chose to play even more aggressively.
You know, when I saw I was tied or maybe one ahead, you know, I kept on pushing. You know, and, you know, normally, I think from the past experience, you know, put a little bit of brakes on and things like that. But today, you know, was a different scenario.
Marcus Armitage of England had a strong finish to secure third place, five shots back.
That's why I live. That is exactly why I live. It's just for moments like that. Yeah, I haven't won the tournament, but Brandon did fantastic today. So, you know, and I learned a lot from Leopard Creek, and I've brought that experience here today. I'll take it on to next week, and, you know, we'll try and beat them boys next week.
South African Jaden Trey Schaper was eight shots back, but number one as the top amateur, thanks to a chip-in on the final hole, surrounded by South African fans.
To finish like that in front of a crowd like that, the support here throughout the week has been so great. But I mean, coming off a little bit of a long day on the golf course, not holding many putts, not getting them in the hole. To finish off like that with a nice chip-in, it was a bit of a rough lie down there. But I mean, to finish off like that in the crowd is chewing for any Tate is... You can't think of anything better at this moment, yeah.
He says an amateur player has much to learn before turning pro, like how to react to a big crowd's approval.
I mean, amateur, you're not really sure what to do with that, so you don't know what to do if you're going to wave or smile or take a cap off. So, I mean, it is a new thing, and hopefully I'm going to get used to it in the years to come. But, I mean, yeah, it's so cool hearing everyone shout your name, being my first time out here, and getting all that support. I mean, the support's been so special this week, and it's an experience I'll never forget this.
Grace had previously won every significant tournament in South Africa golf except the South African Open, making this win a career milestone.
I've won all the big ones, you know, I've won Daniel, I've won Nedbank, Joburg Open, Die Dada, you know, this is the one I really wanted to get my hands on, and, you know, being obviously the second oldest event in the world as well means a lot, and obviously means a hell of a lot to win it in South Africa, you know, in front of home fans and things like that.
As a bonus, he qualifies for the Open Championship this year to be played in July at the Royal St. George's Golf Club in England.
Obviously, I ticked a lot of goals this week, getting back in the Open, you know, things maybe like the WGC, winning this, you know, this kickstarts it all. So, you know, it's an exciting year it's going to be.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.